Snow. Anybody ready for spring?
Yes.
Woo-hoo, yeah, me too. Tracy got up the other day and she looked at me and she goes, I just want you to know if it's like this next winter, you're probably going to see less of me. I'm going to warmer ground. I said, you can't do that. We got a job to do here. Now, well, hey, I'm glad that you braved the snow and the cold to be here today. And over the past several weeks, maybe even months, probably the last several years, and if I'm real honest, I have found myself in so many conversations around and about salvation. And I have to admit, I really have struggled with people who claim they are saved, but their lives look nothing like a saved person, right? But they've claimed, I've got God, I've got Jesus. They have Jesus, but their lives don't look like Jesus, right? And then we're always asked with this question, are they truly saved or are they not saved? I want you to know, the Bible is clear that the only way that a person is saved is belief in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 8 through 13 says this, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how do we become a Christian? Well, the Bible reminds us that salvation is as close to your mouth and to your own heart. The cry of the heart for Jesus comes in a lot of different ways. It truly does. There is no special prayer that you're going to read in the Bible that you say this prayer and you're saved. You're not going to find it. There's no special prayer But when we get to our main scripture today in Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. We're going to read a phrase that I think is so vitally important. You're going to read a phrase in God's Word that says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? So what brought these words to be inspired by God to that Paul would write to the church in Philippi, right? What was it that inspired these words? Well, you can read an account. I'm going to give you a little homework this morning. You can read an account in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, in which a lady named Lydia, who was a wealthy businesswoman, becomes the first follower of Jesus in that city. And that is followed by what you'll read, Paul and Silas causing an uproar in the city when a girl who could tell fortunes, who could tell the future, gets delivered from that evil spirit. And then Paul and Silas ends up in prison because of it. Now, while they're in prison, what do? They continue to worship and they continue to pray. And as they do that, there's an earthquake that happens. And through a series of events, the jailer even ends up following Jesus. So then about 10 years on, the church is still going strong. And Paul, who was once again in prison, writes another letter. The theme of the letter is really one of thanksgiving and joy. they are still partners in the gospel after all this time. But Paul wants them to get on their own two feet. You see, before I read our main scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, I first want you to understand there's this word, there's this little word or big word called that says therefore. So this means that we're getting ready to be encouraged about what was said in the previous verses. I want to read to you verses 1 through 11 of chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, that's the first 11 verses. So we are told in these verses that we are to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Okay? We are to humble ourselves. We are to look to the interests of others. We are to die to selfish ambitions and vain conceit, right? That's what it said in those verses. It's some pretty powerful stuff. Because what he's saying there in those first 11 verses are we are to be Christ's representatives here on earth. Now, most people in our world will only see Jesus through your enactment of his humility. So we are saved through a belief in Christ. Amen? And we are to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let me read to you the rest of that chapter starting at verse 12. Because of what I just read to you in the first 11 verses, the Bible says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. We are to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Church, salvation is not complicated. Wouldn't you agree? Salvation is not complicated. We just went through it. How do you become saved? Believe. Believe in who? Jesus. That's right. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved. Salvation seems pretty simple. But the first thing I want you to write down is this. I am responsible for my faith journey. I am responsible for my faith journey. In verses 12 and 13, before I jump up and shoot the messenger, I want you to explain. I want to explain to you Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, because we have been saved. Anybody here on Team Jesus? Anybody here saved? Amen.
Amen.
That's right. It's the best thing ever. The greatest thing ever. Therefore, my dear friends, because we have been saved and because we are called to imitate Christ, to imitate His humility that was in the previous verses, we are to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let me try to make this as simple and as clear as possible. Once you are saved, you now have a job to do. You know, I think there's a whole lot of people out in our world, and I say this a lot because I'm really concerned about the world in which we live. You know, when I look at that narrow path in the book of Matthew that Jesus is talking about, I have this feeling that heaven's not going to be real overpopulated. Now, I mean that. Because there's a whole lot of people out in our world that bought in that, hey, all I had to do is repeat this prayer after this pastor, and that saved me, and I'm good. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. It's not. Yes, salvation is simple. But you have a job to do with that salvation, wouldn't you agree? Running the race with perseverance. You see, once you are saved, you now have a job to do. Now that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have responsibilities. You see, you have a responsibility for your own faith, and you have a responsibility of the salvation of the world in which we live. I've said it many times. You know, if the world's going to hell, it's because the church isn't doing its job. It's a reality. This isn't what the church is just called to do, a Sunday morning. No, Sunday morning should be a time to be inspired and built up. And I get it, probably convicted, right? To be challenged, but then to go out and be the church. Not to look like the world. If you look like the world, what are you doing? You shouldn't look like the world. You should look like this beautiful shining light in this dark world. Look, there's tragedy happening everywhere. The world just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, right? And I'm going, where is the church? I mean, where's the church at? We should be shining like Jesus in this world. You see, I mean, we have a responsibility for our own faith. I get that. And that's what we're doing here, right? That's why we come to church. That's why we go to Bible study. That's why we open up the Word of God every single morning. I know you guys do. You don't even have to tell me. I don't even have to have you raise your hands. Because I know you're opening up the Word of God every day. Because that's what you do when you're serious about your faith. Because you should be working out your salvation with fear and trembling. God, how can I live to please you, right? How do I live to please you? What direction do you want me to go today? The reality is that's probably not all of our responses, right? But we are to continue out to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, while there is so much freedom to be found in Christ, our freedom in Christ is to be used to take responsibility for the lives we live and for the lives around us. Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Anybody free this morning? What are you free from? Sin. That's right. You're free from sin. You're free from the chains of this world, this life. I've been freed from Jesus. The only time that I'm not free is when I willingly go and put the shackles back on, which I might add I do from time to time. But it says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We're free. Stand firm then, it says, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, of sin, right? Christ came to set us free, not free to do whatever we want, because that leads us back into a slavery of our own selfish desires. This is a key point that Christians need to understand and see. Why do you struggle with sin when you've been set free from it? Because you're willingly going back into slavery of that sin. You've been freed. Do you believe it? But why are we still being hindered by sin if we're free? Because you're willingly going back in, putting on the shackles, right? But the Bible warns us against this. Look, you've been free in Christ. You've been set free. Now you got to stand firm. Salvation was confessing and believing, right? And now I got to stand firm. I got to stand firm in Christ. He came to set us free, but not free to do whatever we want to do. Because I don't know about you, I've done that. And it leads right back to where I once was, right? It does. Because you're sitting there at night or in the morning going, God, I can't believe it. I don't understand why I went right back there again. I don't know why I did it. And Jesus is going, yeah, I don't know why you did it either. Because I've already set you free from it. Why don't you claim me? Why don't you rely on me? Why don't you rest in me? Why don't you lean on my power to get you through the day? But that's not what we do. You see, Christ has set us free so that we can now do what was impossible before we were free. What was impossible to do before we were free? Live unselfishly. Because of Christ, I can live unselfishly now. We have been freed from the old life of sin, right? So that we can now live in such a way as to bring glory to God. That's our job why we're here. That's the reason why God has given you a day. That's the reason why you are still alive this morning as a child of God, is to bring glory to Him. To bring glory to Him through the way you love Him and the way you love others. Not, and I repeat this, not to love yourself. To continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling means to actively live out the salvation that God has given you. Not by earning it. I don't want you to think that I got to do this to earn salvation. No, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. Okay? But we do this, we continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling so that we can obey God with a deep reverence in awe and humility. You see, church, through salvation, God has empowered us to live in such a way to please Him, to glorify Him. But I want you to know something. It is your responsibility to do some work. You see, so how we do this is explained in verses in the rest of these verses. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." This is speaking of God being at work in our hearts. Do you feel God at work in your heart? I mean, God is working on the inside of you. You know, there's been a lot of times I struggle with that. You know, it's like, man, I know I want to live this life to please God. And I know that's what's happening on the inside, but sometimes it's not reciprocated on the outside. You know, sometimes I look like worldly John. But there's this work on the inside that's God. You know it. You feel it. You battle it. You fight it sometimes. So God is at work in our hearts. God is at work on the inside. Now, here's the thing that I want you to see. It is your job to allow the inner work of God to be seen on the outside through your actions and through the lives that you live. It is so important that you understand this. If God is at work in your heart, in your spirit, right? Paul said it so beautifully. There was this death of flesh that he called it, that was sinful, and on the inside he was a child of God, right? And he was going, I don't know why I do the things that I hate and I don't do the things that I'm supposed to do. Well, there's this battle of flesh and spirit. So when God saved you, the Bible says what? The Holy Spirit comes to live in you, right? He comes to live in you. Now, if the Holy Spirit's living in me and initiating my heart, initiating my spirit, encouraging me on the inside, I have to do the work to cause the outside to obey the inside. I hope I'm making sense this morning. The inner work of God in our hearts, we have a job to allow that inner work to actually be seen on the outside. You see, living not in absolute terror of losing my salvation, but by taking my spiritual life seriously is what it's about. You see, God's word says to work out, not to work for, right? He says, work out. You're not working to earn salvation. Salvation is given by God's grace, right? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. If you need to be reminded, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. However, I do believe we do this to bring to completion the saving work that God has already done in us. Much like an athlete trains to perform well in a race. I need you to hear this. I need you to hear me this morning. While I do not believe that one can lose his or her salvation, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, Jesus says, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. These verses, and there are others that speak of eternal security. But what do you do with verses like 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2? The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 6:20 through 21 says this, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. What's been entrusted to your care? Salvation, right? Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in doing so have wandered from the faith. Again, I do believe that the longer you live apart from God, the longer you live like you are not a Christian, I believe that you could be in danger of wandering too far, of walking away from God so far that you start to go, eh, I don't know that I believe that anyway. Eh, it's just a book like everybody says. There's no power in that. Not only that, hey, you know what? Just jump on the board with most of your modern day Christians that say everybody's going to heaven. Just take a shot in the dark. You know what? Live the way you want to live. Live to please yourself. You said that prayer when you were 10 years old that pastor told you to pray. You never lived like a Christian the rest of your life. You're good. It's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. The Bible is clear that we are to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? It is vitally important. I mean, look at the parable of the soils, right, in Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, 18 through 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Woo! I love it! But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And all I have to say is, and to ask is, are you continuing to grow in your faith? Are you continuing to grow in your faith? I mean, God's word says that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This fear and trembling is about a deep respect, an awe, and reverence for God. I got to be honest with you. I don't really see that in our world today, do you? I see a whole lot of people, and I talk to a whole lot of people that said, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. I believe in God, but they don't say anything about Jesus. Their life doesn't look any different than the day that they claim that. Church, it is a healthy fear of disobeying God and a humble awareness of our responsibility in this process. I mean, whether you like this or not, your life shouldn't look the same year after year. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if you're walking intimately with the Lord, should your life look the same year after year? I almost think from what God's done in my life, it doesn't look the same day after day. My life is challenged, right? Now, this doesn't mean that you're sinless. It's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a hunger for God. A hunger for Jesus. A hunger to please Him on the inside. And then making the outside do what the inside wants to do, right? I mean, really. I see a lot of people. My heart has been so heavy the past several weeks. But then I come to this place of no matter what circumstances are happening in your life, and there's some bad ones, right? There's some bad things that you're dealing with. There's some awful things that you shouldn't have to go through, and these families shouldn't have to go through. But in spite of what circumstances are happening in your life should not be the same. It shouldn't be going backwards. You should be continually growing in Christ, right? You should fearfully be doing everything you can in your power, relying on His power to help you live a life that's pleasing to Him no matter what the world around you is doing. You see, a life that is producing eternal fruit. Again, this happens when we are saved and the Holy Spirit is living in us, giving us the desire and the ability to live differently, right? Philippians 4:13, for it is God who works in you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, right? To will and to act according to His good purpose. Look, the only way you can or will have a desire to live differently, to live a life that is pleasing to God, is if the Holy Spirit is in you, right? The Holy Spirit's got to be there. You can't do it without Him. Church, you cannot fake this. You can't. There's been many who have tried. There's been many who have tried to fake it. It only lasts so long. I mean, you may even be able to fake it for 20 years. At some point, the light shining in the darkness, and it's going to reveal your work for what it is. Is it eternal fruit? If you've been born again, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in you. That means He is working in you. He is living in you, ready to do His part. But you have to do your part. You have to do your part. You have to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not about just saying a prayer and everything's all good. You have a responsibility to your faith journey. Matthew 24, 12 through 13 says this. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You see, this is a call to perseverance. It is a call to remain faithful. It is a call to be courageous and focused, right? I mean, even when the things in this world get really difficult, and they are going to get difficult, they will. In all honesty, I don't think we've seen nothing yet. It's going to get difficult, but what is our focus? What is our focus? We are to be courageous, right? We are to remain faithful, church. I send a message, you know, it sends a message to make sure that we are sticking with Christ and making Him priority number one. And church, you have been empowered to do this. You have been empowered to live out this faith that God has called you into. True faith, my friends, is seen through a transformed life. And that transformed life looks a whole lot different from those who only profess faith without a commitment to actually do their part in the faith journey. My next thought from Philippians 2 is this: I am responsible to shine in a broken world. You know, I am responsible to shine in a broken world. Philippians 2:14 through 16 says this: do everything. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Church, these are some very powerful verses, right? They are very powerful verses. Because we have a responsibility. That's you and me. We have a responsibility to shine in a crooked and depraved generation. I mean, would you say that we live in a crooked and depraved generation? We do. I mean, you see it all the time. But what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do during this time? I mean, one of those values and practices are the things that are happening out in our world are far from good, right? They're far from good, at least. Now, I don't want to get off track on all the terrible things that's going on out in our world. That's not what this is about. This is about you, and this is about me, and how we can shine in this world, you see? But I do want to keep this, we keep this focus on us, God's children, and what our responsibilities are, no matter how crooked and no matter how depraved this world gets, okay? We're not supposed to be a part of it. We're not supposed to be a part of the problem. We're supposed to be different, right? We're supposed to shine differently. We're supposed to make a difference in our world. Now, in the midst of the world around us that is warped and distorted in its activities and values due to its rebellion from God, that's what it is. The world doesn't want God, not at least not the God I follow, they don't. Because that God wants change. That God wants obedience. That God wants devotion. That God wants transformation, right? No, I just want to know that I'm going to heaven and let me live however I want. That's what this world wants, really. But in the midst of this world around us that is so warped and distorted in its activities and values, and it is because of its rebellion against God, Christians, Team Jesus, Christians are called to live lives that are noticeably different. Radically different. You're supposed to stand out in your workplaces. You're supposed to stand out in the community in which you live. That's what God's children does. Right? We are to be noticeably different from those around us. We are called to do everything, it says, without complaining or arguing. You know something that grieves me more than anything is when I see two Christian brothers arguing about something that's so silly, and it's something that we're not supposed to do. Then you got to figure out which one's not being very Christian. No, if either side, whether you're right or wrong, doesn't matter. We are not to argue. We are not to complain. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is a pretty high calling because it's so hard to do, right? It's a pretty high calling that comes from Paul right after he tells us that we are to put the interests of others above our own, right? And to be like-minded as Christ in being humble and a servant, right? Our attitude is not, poor me, this life just stinks. I mean, come on. Why isn't everybody trying to help me? Or life isn't fair. Life just isn't fair. Or the whole self-pity thing. No, our lips are to speak and sing praise. The things coming out of our mouths should be that of thanksgiving and encouragement for life, right? It is a blameless life, the Bible says. A life in which people can't find fault. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You see, something that became very aware to me because I live this. I may not be able to control what others say about me. You may not be able to control what others say about you, right? But you can at least stop supplying them with ammunition. You can stop the bleeding. As long as you do, here's the thing in this scripture. As long as you do right in the eyes of the Lord, their accusations will be empty and will only embarrass themselves. You see, it isn't my job to judge them or convict them of their actions. We'll leave that to God, right? Our job is to just keep shining. Just keep shining. God's word gives us this cool image. You shine like stars in the universe. Do you believe that? When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, do you say, you go out there and you shine for Jesus today? Do you believe that whenever you go out into the world or in your family, in the midst of maybe some of the most tragic days in your life, that you can stand and you can go, I'm going to shine for Jesus. In spite of my circumstances, in spite of what's going on in this world, in spite of all these things, I am going to shine the way Jesus said I need to shine. I'm going to shine, right? I'm going to shine like stars in the universe. Now again, this is a part of our responsibility. You see, we have this responsibility. We have lifestyles and words and purposes that make a difference in the world in which we live, whether you know it or not. The way you walk through life when life gets tough speaks volumes to the people around you. They really start to look and go, okay, there's something different about Dad. Or there's something different about mom. I mean, shouldn't he, you know, everything I see on YouTube, you just need to go punch him in the throat. But he's not doing that. What's the deal? No, we're supposed to shine like the stars in the universe for Jesus, right? Through our lifestyles, through our words, through our purposes. Think about what God's saying here. I mean, really think about it. What do people do to the stars? Well, I thought about this, and what I think they do is they gaze at them. That's what they do, right? It's like if it's a nice, clear day and you're not living in the city and you're looking up and it's like, man, those things are popping. Those things are popping tonight. They gaze at them, and they are, as we learned over the Christmas season, they were guided by them. And the more I thought about that, and what God's word is saying here, I believe God is saying that our lives should be admired in this very lost generation. I believe that's what God's word is saying. You know, I think what we do is we go, who am I? Who am I to be different? No, you are different, my friends. No, you are different because you have Jesus. And the people who don't have Jesus needs to see what a life that has Jesus looks like, right? They need to. How will they know if they don't see it? That's your responsibility. But a lot of times we're too busy being pushed down by the old lives that we choose to hold on to. We choose to hold on to those lives that aren't glorifying to God. They don't lead anywhere, church. You can sit there and you can live that life all you want, but it leads nowhere. And it certainly doesn't point people around us to Jesus. Our job is to keep shining, right? Again, that's not to show it off. You know, not in a show-off kind of way, or to look at me, because I've seen that kind of Christian too. You know, they go do something good and they go, Pastor, I got to tell you what I did. I did this. And it's like, man, you know what? You can tell me and I'll listen. But isn't it so much greater when God just does it and you're anonymous? That God just does these awesome things and He uses you. It's great. It's awesome to be used by God because you are that star. You are that star that shines. But you don't need to shout it from the rooftop of Facebook. And you don't need to shout it to the rooftop at church or anything like that. What you need to do is let God be God, and you just keep shining for Him. And those heavenly treasures, oh, they're going to be beautiful. I can't wait to get there. I might be disappointed whenever I get there and He goes, eh, you didn't get anything, but you're in. And I'll be like, whoa, yeah, no. Yeah, but no, but seriously, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? To continue to shine like the stars of the universe. You know, when we are taking responsibility, church, of our faith journey, and that's your responsibility, okay? Salvation is God's responsibility. You only get saved through Jesus. But you have a responsibility. The Bible says it, to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling so that you can glorify God with your life. So that you can stay the course. So that you can stand firm. So that you can stay strong. So that your marriages are blessed. So that your kids live in a house with two parents and not two houses, right? That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to shine for Jesus. When two people are shining for Jesus, it's a beautiful thing. But that's your responsibility. Your faith journey, and we need to take responsibility to shine for Jesus in this broken world, in broken families, right? There's a lot of broken families too. And Jesus is the only one that can mend them and make them better. He is. You see, through our humility and our service towards others, and it starts in our family, how we treat our family, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat our work colleagues, even the members of our church, Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I just ask you this, what kind of star do you want to be? What kind of star do you want to be? Philippians 2:16, as you hold out for the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. You ever feel like you're just running and laboring for nothing? You feel like you're just running and laboring for somebody else to spend what you work so hard for? You know, I did a devotion not too long ago. There's no guarantees of tomorrow. Make sure you're making the most of today. Which leads to my final thought here, and I'll wrap it up kind of quickly. Find joy in being poured out for Jesus, because that's what it talks about in verse 17 and 18. You know, it shouldn't be a job to live a life that's pleasing to God and that shows the world around us who He is. I mean, Paul found joy in sacrifice. Do you find joy in sacrifice this morning? I mean, even if Paul had to die, he was content, right? Knowing that he had helped the Philippians live for Christ. You see, church, there is nothing more satisfying than being totally committed to serving Christ and sacrificing to build the faith of others, okay? There's nothing like it. There is nothing more satisfying than being a partner in the kingdom work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing like living a purposeful life that is being poured out for Christ's purpose and not my own selfish, fleeting desires. A life being poured out for Christ's purposes, gives our lives meaning. And it counts for storing up treasures in heaven, and it makes the sacrifice joyful rather than a burden. Church family, our lives are not our own. What a joy it would be to be poured out in this life for Jesus. Where can you pour yourself out for Jesus this morning? Maybe that's a good question for us this morning. Where can you pour yourself out for Jesus? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your workplace? Is it in your families? Is it in a world that doesn't deserve for us to be poured out on them? And how do we practice, how do we put this into practice in our daily lives? I'll leave you with two thoughts. Through active obedience to God. We need to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to consistently apply Christ's teaching to our daily lives and our thoughts and our actions. And number two, through spiritual growth. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So as we continue to grow in Christ, as we continue to grow in our spiritual maturity, church, we have an opportunity to really shine for Jesus. So how do we shine? Well, we shine by taking on the responsibility to becoming more like Christ. We have to become more like Christ. And when we become more like Christ, we will become the servants of God and of others that God has called us to be. I'll leave you with this question. In what ways are we shining? In what ways are you shining like stars in a world that is crooked and messed up? Some of you are thinking right now, I'm crooked and messed up. Seriously. There's days I look in the mirror and I'm crooked and messed up. But I got to remember very quickly, that's not who I'm called to be. My life has been changed because of Jesus. Your life has been changed because of Jesus. I'm not crooked and messed up. I'm called to shine. And so are you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you once again for your word. I thank you, and I think I can pray this for all of us. We thank you for seeing something in us that we never saw. God, for saving our souls. Help us to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling so that we can shine like the stars that you've called us to shine like in this world that is slowly, slowly walking away from you. God, we need your revival everywhere, and I truly believe that revival starts with us. God, we can bring, help us to bring revival to this world everywhere we go, because we are yours, and that's what we're called to do. We love you, and we just present this message and this church family to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? And now may the Lord bless you, and I pray that he keeps you. I pray that he consumes you. And I pray that you experience his perfect peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If anybody would like special prayer, a shepherding team member will be up here to pray with you. Or if these altars are, or these, this front altar is totally open if you want to come pray by yourself.